describe for us in a way that we can relate to the nature of the relationship between Hashem and Klal Yisrael. The love that Hashem has for Klal Yisrael and the love that Klal Yisrael has for Hashem. And the example, the dugma that he uses is the relationship between a husband and wife, a chosan and kala. He speaks about the difficulties, he speaks about an estrangement that sets in, and then they come back to get all of these things, but it really captures all of the emotions that are involved in a human relationship, and then we're supposed to expand that and extend that and extrapolate from that, that that's involved in the relationship with Hashem. Now, of course, in relationship with Hashem, he's not human, so his stuff is, his love and the expressions of his love are not human. They only look human to us, and we have to see them in human terms, because otherwise we wouldn't understand them. You know what I mean? But so we don't understand exactly how it works. But he certainly demonstrates in the way he deals with us the equivalent of what would be the result of human love, and therefore that's what we're supposed to feel. Okay. So now, just to review something that we mentioned last time, which I think is something just to, one of the things Rashi says here is that that Klal Yisrael is compared to a nut. Not this kind of nut, but a nut. A nut, let's say a walnut, has a very thick shell. So it can wallow in the dirt and not get dirtied. Right? It says, so too Klal Yisrael. He says, "Af Yisrael goylin abein ha'umayis, v'loikin malki yisharbi." They go into Golos. They're amongst all the nations of the world. They get all kinds of mistreatment from them. They maseh nemosim, but yet their actions don't become dirtied. Now the question is that their actions do become affected, because Klal Yisrael, when it's amongst all the goyim, things happen and they don't always behave properly. That's true. However, it seems that the actions are measured, because what's the comparison to the nut? The actions are measured from the inside. The nut on the inside remains clear. So here too, even though on the outside their actions may appear less than appropriate, but on the inside they're still good and pure and clean and not affected. And that's the way Shlomo HaMelech tells us the Jew will look in the Golos. That even though on the outside he may seem to be affected by the world in which he lives, and he's copying.
What's an example of that?
What?
What's an example of that?
An example is, I'll give you a good example of it. And this is one of the examples that I used last time. They were involved during this war in Gaza in providing tens of thousands of pairs of tzitzis to soldiers. So many people would say, you know, good, they put it on. They say, okay, you know. But I believe that even though these people were not religious, and they really on the surface, like, okay, you know, we're going into war, we're a little bit nervous, we'll do you a favor, or you know, maybe an extra protection. But the good feeling that they had, the sincerity that came out when they did it, was real. In other words, inside the Jew has that feeling. Sometimes it's because he has such feelings that he behaves the way he behaves. What is that? Because he becomes overwhelmed. It's too much for him. Can't handle it. So what do you do when you can't? It gets too hot in the kitchen. What do? You run out of the kitchen. But the reality is, I'm running because I appreciate the heat. Right? Person who doesn't recognize that it's hot, he doesn't run. If he doesn't see the fire, he doesn't run. Many times, people, especially those that have had an education, they just took it too seriously. They said, oh, this demands a lot. This demands so much. This is so real. This is so important. This is so overwhelming. I got to run away and pretend it doesn't exist. Did you ever see a person hide under a pillow when there's lightning outside?
Yeah.
You've heard of that, right? Do you know lightning goes through pillows? It's completely irrational. Completely irrational. But I don't know what to do. I got to pretend. I got to get out of here. I can't handle it. So that's what Shlomo HaMelech tells us. That's the Jew. Inside, he doesn't get dirty. He wants it. He craves it. He feels it. And when you bring it out, it becomes real. And that's basically what it is. Okay, we have to move on. next perek. Shuvi shuvi hashulamis, shuvi shuvi venechezeboch. So here it says, we have to see with Rashi what it means, but it says, return, you know, come back. This shulamis refers probably to shlemus, you perfect one, okay? Shuvi shuvi, come back. Venechezeboch. And we'll look at you. We may, so that we should see you. Matechezu bashulamis. What can you see in this perfect one? Kimcholas hamachanoim. That's as to be compared to the circling of camps. We'll see what that means. So far, I have no idea what it means. Rashi. Shuvi shuvi hashulamis. Oimrim elai shuvi shuvi me'achar hamokim. They say to me, Rashi says, this is the Umma Sa'olam saying to Klal Yisrael, go away from Hashem, shuvi shuvi ashulamis. You, they look at Klal Yisrael and they see, it's very interesting, the Umma is called Klal Yisrael shulamis. The Goy appreciates the level of perfection that exists in a Jewish person. Why do you think, you know, sometimes we get offended? They hold us to a different standard, right? If a Jew does something, especially religious, what? Yeah, the newspapers, but you know something? They're really right, except their intent is terribly wrong. We should be held to a higher standard.
Yeah. So why is it wrong?
It's wrong because they do it because they hate us.
Oh, they don't do it.
They don't do it because, oh, we expect more out of you. Oh, we expect more. You
people. They do it because they want to make us look bad.
Yeah, that's right. But the reality is, they know deep down, I guess, maybe subconsciously, they know that. We receive the Torah at Har Sinai. We have the moral imperative given to us by the Creator Himself. We know the purpose for which we were created. We're expected to live according to that. We're even more equipped to live according to that by our genetic makeup, by the Yerusha that we have from Avraham Avinu and from the Ovois. And we have that Rachmonim, Baishonim, Goyim Lechasodim. We have these Midas. So the Goy says, Shuvi, Shuvi, Ashulamis, come on. You perfect ones. Turn away from Hashem. Shuvi, shuvi v'nechzeboch. Come here and we'll look at you. Let's see, Rashi says, Omrim Eli, shuvi, shuvi me'achar hamokim. Turn away from Hashem. Hashulamis, hashleimo be'munoseich imoy. You who are sholem with your belief, with your faith in Hashem, shuvi, shuvi eleinu. Turn back, come back to us. Let's see if he adds.
Does that mean we're not perfect in other areas? He just picks on that one thing.
Look at that. He says he brings from someone who says that the four shuvi, 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 shuvi is alluding to the four exiles. In other words, the four times that Klal Yisrael was exiled away. But the Umayyads are trying to get us away from Hashem. That's what they do. They threaten us to, we have to convert. Otherwise, they'll kill us, right? That's happened so many times in history.
ISIS.
What?
ISIS.
Yeah, now they still want to kill us. If they kill us, we're away from Hashem. If they kill us, we don't even exist. But this has been an obsession with the Umay Sa'olam. And so he says, Shuvi, Shuvi, Venechezeboch. What's Venechezeboch?
Okay, I just ask a question. Why does he pick on Emunah over there? There's Shalom, it says Shalom, Emunah Secha. What about everything else? Rashi just says Emunah Secha.
No.
So why just that one?
No, because it means if you're Sholim and you're Emunah, then everything follows. Yeah, in other words, we are full. If a person has total Emunah in Hashem, so there's nothing else. What? It's true. Any compromise in our dealings with Hashem is on some level a breach in our Emunah also. Because if you saw Hashem right in front of your eyes, imagine if the Chofetz Chaim was sitting right here, would you talk Lashon Hara? Alachas kamo v'kamo, you know, kal v'choyim v'benoi shal kal v'choyim. If I felt the Rebbeinu Shalom right in front of me, shivisi Hashem l'neki sobe. You know, and by the way, I believe that some people do, young people sometimes, and that's why it becomes too overwhelming for them. They can't handle it. It's too much. So we have to be sure that when we educate people with that, it has to be in a positive way. They have to know Hashem as the Baal Chesed and Rachamim, not just the Kel Nekomois Hashem. If the whole image that they have is of this vengeful God who punishes, then sometimes it becomes too scary. If it becomes of this benevolent God who loves, who cares, then it's something that we can better handle. The Ramban says on the posuk ki imcho haslicho leman tivorei. It's a very strange posuk. It says, with you Hashem is forgiveness in order that you be feared. Just the opposite. The more a person's forgiving, the less I'm afraid of him, right? If a person's more forgiving, then you have less reason to be afraid. He's always forgiving. The less he's forgiving, the more you're afraid of him. He says, no, with you is forgiveness in order that people fear you. So Ramban explains that if Hashem wasn't forgiving, we'd be afraid to be afraid. We'd have to deny it. We'd have to block it out. Because I can't be afraid. He's not forgiving. It's all over. But now that I know that he's forgiving, now I can allow myself to be afraid. I'm not afraid to be afraid because he's so forgiving. So the image of Hashem that's tolerable to us is this loving image. When we know how much he loves, when we know how much chesed he does, when we know how much he cares, that transforms everything to a relationship. So even if that emunah is sholem, and we know, we're focused constantly on his existence, if we know who he is, the Baal Chesed and Rachamim, then it's a different story. Okay, so let's see what he says. And he says, so the nations of the umas are trying to get us, Hashlema be'emunoscha, shuvi shuvi eleinu, come on back to us. V'nechezeboch, natsiv mimeich, nitsivim v'shiltoinim. We will appoint from you rulers, governors, rulers. In other words, how do the umos entice us to leave Hashem? They entice us to leave Hashem by saying, we'll take you into the government, we'll make you a minister, we'll make you a professor, we'll make you a cabinet member, we'll make you a senator, we'll take you into they entice us by drawing us to positions of prestige in their world. And the truth of the matter is that this is extremely wise, because ultimately the human being is created in the image of Hashem, and it's very important for him to have that sense of prestige. He needs that. People want coveted, right? It's a natural thing. People abuse it and ask for too much, but people want that. We need that. A person, I'm a hush of a person. I need to feel that way. That's the way I function the best. A person who thinks lowly of himself doesn't do very much. A person who has a certain sense of self, of confidence, of my own worth, he does much more. So they play on that, and they say, come on, v'nechezeboch, come on in, we'll take care, we'll appoint you. The President of the United States will appoint you his chief of staff, he'll put you in his cabinet, the political party will embrace you and put you up as the candidate for a senator, and for this, and for a judge, and for who knows what. These are the enticements. And if you notice, Jews have always, throughout history, had a disproportionate amount of influential positions. Very interesting. You know, if you read European Jewish history, he was the chief financier. He was the second the king's right hand man. He was the governor of Venice. He was the this. He was the that. They're all over the place, because that's the enticement that the goyim use to draw us. They know that we're leaders, but they try to engage us in a different type of leadership. We were born and we were nurtured and we're genetically prepared to be leaders amongst Klal Yisrael, to be leaders in the right direction, to be leaders in the real world. But instead, they try to use that to draw us away. So they say, v'nechezeboch, this is what they're doing. We'll appoint you into positions. Oh, where am I here? That's, he brings the posuk. Kach dorish Rabbi Tanchuma. Dov ach v'nechezeboch, nisboinei neleich ma gudula liten loch. Oh, you hear? So the other pshat in this is not that they'll appoint you to positions. That's one pshat. The other pshat, Rashi says, is we will look into you and see what gedula to give you. We will give you greatness. They promise us greatness. You join us, leave this religion of yours, leave your God, and we will give you greatness. We'll look into, we'll sit down together to figure out. We'll nechezeboch, we'll look to see what greatness to give you. V'hi omeres, so what does Klal Yisrael answer? Batechezu bashulamis. What can you offer, to the perfect one? What are you going to offer to Klal Yisrael, So he says, magidula. What kind of greatness can you goyim give me? that can be equal to my greatness, afilu ligdulas digle mecholeis machanois hamidbar, or even equal to the greatness of the banners that Hashem gave each shevet a banner when they were in the midbar and they marched according to their own shvotim. They had certain encampments in the midbar. Even that, which I guess is not the ultimate greatness of Klal Yisrael. The ultimate greatness of Klal Yisrael, they have a Mishkan. They have a Kohen Gadol. They have an Urim V'Tumim. They can ask the Urim V'Tumim, what are we supposed to do? And the Urim V'Tumim gives them the answers. They had a direct connection with Hashem. They had a Mishkan which just says, Hashem comes to dwell amongst them. We had such a close connection to Hashem. You guys can't even offer us anything, even to the simple level of the Machlis. I guess in the Machlis represented Hashem's guiding Klal Yisrael. He told them how to travel. Each machane, each one, they traveled all according, all with their own shevet. They encamped every time they came to a new place. They encamped each roof and shevet. Shimon, each one encamped in his appropriate place. So we had leadership. We had organized leadership. You can't even offer us that, let alone all the greatness that Hashem has offered us. So Klal Yisrael answers to the Goyim, there's nothing that you can offer us that's as great, whether you say let's look at it or whether you offer us the governorship, like you open those two pshatim. There's nothing you can offer us that's as great, even as the lesser of the things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has offered. So I'd just like to comment one thing before we end this, that again, as we mentioned in the introduction, Shlomo HaMelech is misnabe, is prophesying about the future of Klal Yisrael and the Golos, right? This is what the Klal Yisrael is going to look like, the Golos. Now, Klal Yisrael and the Golos has been vulnerable to these things. They've been enticed and tempted into great positions, to positions of leadership, the governor and the this and the minister and the chief of staff and all these positions. That's true. And they are tempted when the goyim say, Shuvi, Shuvi v'nechzav. Come, join us. We'll take care of you. We'll help you here. We'll help you there. But the answer of Matechazu Bashulamis, what can you offer me, means that Klal Yisrael, even as they're being enticed, has deep down an appreciation that everything you offer me is not going to satisfy me, because it doesn't equate even to the smallest of offerings that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us. Even to the machanos in the midbar, the way we marched in the midbar, even to that, it doesn't equate to that.
How does the regular person come to that recognition?
What? He has it inside. So I just want to say like this. I believe that we see this today. Because why? You'll say, what do you mean? Many people are enticed, right? They don't see Matechzu. When the President Carter offered some Jew, President Carter, President, what's the President's name?
Obama.
You know his name? Yeah, I'm trying to figure out. Anyway, what?
Now they're President?
No, the President of, you have a President over there in Canada? You have a President?
Kennedy.
Anyway, you hear? Kennedy, that's right. That's what we're up to. Anyway, yeah, so when the president offers a Jew a position of the chief of staff or something like this, so the Jew jumps, he takes it, a big honor for him, right? I think even this president had some
Rahm Emanuel.
Religious, what?
Rahm.
Yeah. But, there's one thing. Shlomo HaMelech tells us that doesn't satisfy him. Because deep down in his heart, he says, "Matechazu bashulamis kimcholas hamachanayim." You can't offer me anything in your world that can compete, even with the most basic, with the smallest offering that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has for Klal Yisrael. And that's why the Jew is so frustrated in this world, because no matter what he gets, he achieves wealth, he achieves power, he achieves fame, he achieves honor. He'll become the president of the United States, maybe. But Matechazu Bashulamis Kimcholas HaMachanayim, you can't really give me anything, because my true greatness and my true appreciation of who I am and my true sense of fulfillment comes from what Hashem offers me. That's the problem. That's why Jews today are so frustrated. With the more they succeed in the secular world, the more they succeed in the business world, the more they succeed in the professional world, the more frustrated they are. Because they want to succeed in their relationship with Hashem. That's the ultimate success. That's what we're saying.
So Shlomo was able to see up till this point in history?
Yeah, Shlomo Melech was a novi.
But I'm saying, which scholars is he looking towards? This scholar that
looking
right now?
To, he's looking both.
So he's able, so he was able to see to this day.
Rashi says, Goyla acha goyla. One God says, you see here it says, if four, Shuvi was connected to four Goyles. He saw the whole
He was
thing.
Able to see our day, this generation?
That's right. He saw what Klal Yisrael would look like. And that's what a Novi is. He had that Nevuah, Ruach HaKodesh, whatever it was. And he was able